This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we have a very special in-studio guest today. Ryan, who are we speaking with?
We are speaking today with Mr. John Lau. Distinguished Toastmaster John Lau is currently serving as the International President of Toastmasters International. John is from Kuching, Sarawak, Malaysia. He's the Chief Executive and owner of the Acme Group of Companies. John is also a Sarawak State Chairman of the People's Progressive Party of Malaysia, a component party of the Malaysian federal government. John Lau, it is an honor for us to have you with us in studio.
And yes, that's not just Ryan and myself clapping. We have a couple in-studio guests as well.
I certainly do. So John, hope you've been enjoying your trip here so far to the United States.
Yes, it is. It is a lot of fun, very rewarding, very fulfilling, traveling from New Orleans into Nashville, into Boise, into Vegas, into Los Angeles, wow. And today in Boston.
Yeah, the final destination.
No, I'm going down south to Lake Mary, Jacksonville, and Orlando. Then I will land up in Dallas. Right. I will be in Dallas for a week for the executive committee meeting. And after that, I will be visiting District 25.
Right, but I was talking about in terms of importance.
Well, every district, every city I go to, they are important.
Of course.
Because certainly. We have lovely members who are so gentle like you, Bob, like Ryan.
So, John, to kick us off here, I wanted to get right into the fundamentals of what Toastmasters is really about.
Sure, please go ahead.
As you know, the tagline for Toastmasters International is where leaders are made. And as you are now here serving in this most prominent position of Toastmasters International, the international president, can you share with us a little about how Toastmasters has helped you become a leader?
Exactly. To me, there are four criteria how to be effective, productive leaders. Number one, they need to have self-reflection. Number two, to have a balanced perspective. Number three, to have true self-confidence. And number four, have genuine humility and be at peace with yourself. Now, let me discuss in detail each of these criteria.
Sure.
Self-reflection, we learned that in Toastmasters through speech evaluation, table topic evaluation, and general evaluators evaluation, I learned to have self-evaluation every day before I sleep. I always ask myself, hey, if I have to do this again, how will I do it differently? I think every leader needs to do that. Otherwise, they can't be leader. So this is something very good, very effective in Toastmasters that I acquire, having self-reflection. The second one, balanced perspective, means whatever things we do, we need to involve our team members, seeking the views, opinion, idea of the whole team before we make a final decision. And this is what we learn in Toastmasters, because Toastmasters is a voluntary organization, non-profit organization. We do not have authority over any members or any people in the team. So we need to seek their views, talk to them, listen to their ideas, and we make a joint decision. At the end of that process, people will have the ownership of that decision. They will work hard to achieve the goals.
Right.
The third one is having confidence. The program at Toastmasters allow to groom us to sharpen our thinking skill. Once our thinking skills is very polished, people look at us, we are very confident. The thing is that our brain thinks in numbers and words. The words we use in thinking is very important. For example, if I say, Bob, you are such a great, gentle, kind, young gentleman. So whenever I see you, that perception is always in my mind. Mm-hmm. And whenever Bob see me, what will happen is Bob will feel it, that John is very warm to him. Because thoughts become things. Mm. So it is important what we think. What we think makes who we are. To develop a true self-confidence. Humility, be at peace, the fourth one. Whatever we do in Toastmasters, we need to put ourselves in the shoes of our team member. We are here not to hurt people. We are here not to instruct people. We are here to groom, to shape, to mold, to coach, and to mentor people to achieve their goals. And this is my definition of humility. Mm-hmm. Be with the people. Be with your team members. At peace with them. Be gentle with them. Well, these are the four criteria to me to be a great leader. And this is where we learn it in Toastmasters. And Toastmasters, where leaders are made, is indeed a great tagline in our organization.
John, when did you join Toastmasters? And what was your initial motivation for joining at that time?
I remember I joined Toastmasters on September 4th, 1990, which is about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. No, 22 years ago. The reason I joined, because that time I was working for a German multinational company responsible for sales and marketing in the organization. And I feel whenever I do business presentation to the group of people, I have a lot of deficiency in that presentation mm-hmm. because my success rate was only 40%, which is below my personal set target. I would like to achieve better. So I spoke to one of my friends who is my MBA classmate and also encouraged by the chairman of the group of companies that I work with. He said, John, why don't you come and try Toastmasters? So I went. I went three times to be a guest. Before I'm allowed to join the club. So when I joined the club, a year later, 1.5 years later, when I did business presentation, the success rate was much better. Mm. From 40 to 50 to 60, 70, and final my success rate was 80%.
Wow.
The reason is because I was able to connect with my customers. Because doing business presentation, no matter how good you do, the criteria is, the measurement is, you must connect with people.
Now, how did you measure that success rate? Was that based on the number of closings or sales made?
Based on the number. Let's say I did 10 business presentation.
Right.
I'm on the 10 business presentation. How many of them I can convince and inspire my clients to sign the contract with us? Mm-hmm. So out of 10 business presentation, 8 of them will sign the contract with us. So that's 80%.
Yeah. Right.
John, can you tell us a little bit more about the Acme Group of companies and in particular what a typical day would look like for you as the chief executive?
Sure. My company is responsible for human capital development. We look into our clients' organization, the various staff competency skill. What are the required skill for my client staff to perform the job? So my client will say, hey, this is a competent staff. So we develop the competency skill framework, decide together with the top management of the organization what is the required competency skill needed, and we analyze. We did a competency skill analysis for them. So they will have come up with a report, current competency skill, which is the current skill I have, versus the required competency skill. If my current competency skill is level 3, mm-hmm. and a required competency skill is level 4, so my training needs is that level 4. And that is the job that I'm doing. I'm visiting clients, helping them to develop the competency skill framework, provide the training for them. Mm. This is one part of the business. I have another company doing buying and selling supplies, doing a little bit of construction work as well.
All right. Well, we understand that you're a politician as well. How has Toastmasters training helped you specifically with the politics? We heard a lot about how it helped you in business. Now, what about the politics?
In politics, we need to speak the language of the people. We need to speak what the people want to listen to, what they want to hear, what they like a lot. So this is exactly what I learned in Toastmasters. Whatever speech you deliver, deliver it to meet the needs of the audience. So we deliver a speech to meet the needs of the audience. So this is what politicians are doing. Like now in America, November 6th, you have hear a lot of news that politicians are speaking at the wavelength of the people here. So this is what exactly I learned in Toastmasters and applied into the various responsibility I have, including running the People Progressive Party in the state of Sarawak.
Right. Now, John, when you were recently profiled in the Toastmaster magazine, there was a reference in there to a development model that you call learning, unlearning, and relearning. I wondered if you could share a little bit more about that and perhaps give us an example of how that model has taken root in your own life.
Very good. I take a very recent example. On the night of October 29, where Rebecca and I, we were in Los Angeles, staying at the airport hotel, we learned that Boston is badly hit by Hurricane Sandy. There is no way the plane can ever take off from Los Angeles and land here safely. They say all the flights were canceled. That was my learning at that time. But I woke up very early in the morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning. I went down to the lobby after checkout. I looked at the airport flight information, flight 222. I have a pleasant surprise. It was on time. I could not accept that. I went into the airport. I could check in. So something I learned in the past, in that on the 29th night evening, the Boston is badly hit by Hurricane Sandy. And on 30th of October morning, I found that that was not true. So something I learned, I unlearned. And when a flight landed in Boston International Airport, I found that Boston was very peaceful. So something I learned, I unlearned, and I relearned. And I talked to the district governor, Stefano, a very young, dynamic gentleman. And I get to meet two of you today. And all of you are very gentle, very lovely people.
Thank you.
So that's my learning. To learn, we unlearn, and we relearn. And this is what we need to do as a person. If we learn something now, we feel that that is wrong, we unlearn it, and we relearn the new things.
Right. Makes sense.
Makes sense?
Right. Well, let me just add that you and your wife are lovely people as well.
Thank you so much.
John, I noticed when you came into the office, you were eyeing my book, my library over there. I understand that you are an avid reader yourself, and you read about one book a week. What are you currently reading now?
Oh, currently I'm reading a very good book titled A Gentle Path, written by Dr. Tina Thomas of New Orleans. In fact, I was delivering a keynote address at the District 68 Fall Conference. I was talking about we are the product of our thoughts. Whatever words we think, when people see us as the product of our thoughts. And she stood up after I delivered that speech. She said, John, I have written a book. I want to pass it to you. I'm sure you will enjoy reading that. So I start reading that on 28th of October. I'm almost three quarters through. But when I travel around, I read on average 2 books in 10 days. I need to read just like a fish need water.
Yeah.
And Bob, I must congratulate you. You have a wide range of book collection. And people say, and my professor told me, if you want to know a person, ask him, what sort of book is he reading?
Yeah, I like it phrased that way. You mentioned to me when you came in, you said you could tell a lot by a person by looking at their library. And I said, well, that was probably very true 5 years ago. But now with ebooks, my library is on my iPad, and you don't have access to that. So you know the me, John, of 5 years ago by looking at. If you want to know the me of today, you'd have to break open my iPad and click on my digital library there.
Actually, not necessary. By what you say, by what you communicate, by how you connect with us, we also get to know you.
Of course.
And we also know what type of books you are reading.
Right. Especially if you ask me and I tell you.
Sure. It makes it easier. So when was the last book you read?
I read books all the time. So the last book I read was right before I picked you up, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the title of the book you can share?
It's actually a textbook. Fifth edition, Personality, Classic Theories, and Modern Research.
Oh, wonderful. I'm very impressed that you are interested in something that I'm very interested in.
Oh, good. Well, personality is important to all of us, I think.
Yeah, sure. Very important to everybody.
John, when we started off here, we talked a little bit about some of the places you've visited already as international president, as well as some of the places you're going to here in the United States. Beyond the United States, where else will you be visiting Toastmasters around the world as international president? And so far, what's the learning been for you?
Excellent questions. After United States, after November the 19th, I look forward to the Spring Conference, which is April, May next year. I will be visiting emerging market in South Korea. I will be going to Saudi Arabia, a wonderful place that we always dreamed to be there. We will be in Perth, Australia, a new district, after reform from District 73. So those are the three districts I will be visiting after visited the district in North America. The learning that I have so far, after visiting three districts and met with the Region 10 leaders in Los Angeles on 29th of October, I found that members, they caught one fever, F-E-V-E-R, fever. Mm-hmm. They got the flu fever. Mm. That fever inspired them to share the benefits they had gained in Toastmasters with one of their friends. And a lot of them come to me. They say, John, this is my district pin. I can show you later. It's in a car. I show you my district pin. They said, numerical letter 1. He said, John, whenever anybody put on this numerical letter pin, they have to recruit one new member. When people ask them, what does that mean? They say, hey, my friend, please share the benefit you have gained in Toastmasters with one of your friends. Hmm. Bring them into Toastmasters. Get them engaged in a movement. Coach them, mentor them, so that they benefit a lot from the Toastmaster communication and leadership programs. Hmm. And that is my learning. I was so excited. Excited because that is what exactly I was talking about.
Right.
Share with one of your friends the benefit you have gained in Toastmaster. Bring them in so that our organization will continue to grow. Let's say everybody around the world in Toastmaster bring in one new member. Imagine what will be our membership by June 30.
Just imagine if they each brought in 10 new members.
Oh my God.
Let's get the calculator right.
If we are now 280,000 officially, if everybody bring in 10, both of you will bring in 10.
20.
20? Then our organization will be 280,000 times 10. Just imagine that.
It's big.
I'm asking every member just to bring in one new member. I'm so impressed, inspired by the leadership whom I met in Los Angeles. Great. So members are getting excited. They say, John, this is the way I will do. Wow, I say, congratulations.
Yeah.
If our organization just hit 400,000 members by the end of the term, we will celebrate in Cincinnati.
And that'd be a good reason to celebrate as well. Yeah. Cincinnati is next year, the international conference in 2013. And I hear the 2014 conference is going to be in a really cool place. And when I say cool, I don't mean cold. I mean
I mean, cool. So can you tell us a little bit about this location and why it is such a great choice for the 2014 International Convention?
2014 Convention will be held in a tropical country.
I like it so far.
Where the tallest twin tower in the world is located. And we have an international airport ranked top five in the world.
Five.
Kuala Lumpur is the federal capital of Malaysia. I know, I believe all of you now know where is Malaysia, mm-hmm. my home country where I live.
My shirt was made in Malaysia. I wore this on your honor.
Oh, right, man.
I noticed the tag when I put it on.
I share with you. This morning during the sample meeting, I shared a small thumb drive. And people say, what is that? What is that? Is that made in Malaysia? I say, yeah, Malaysia technology is very advanced. So talking about Kuala Lumpur, people in Kuala Lumpur, they are very warm. They can speak multilingual. They can speak minimum English. Our national language, Malay. Mm-hmm. We call it Bahasa Malaysia. Bahasa means language. So it's Malaysian language.
Okay.
The third one, people can speak, whether they can speak Chinese, Mandarin, or our dialect, and you can speak Tamil. And there are a lot of people from around the world living in Kuala Lumpur. We have what we call the retirement package promoted by the government, home ownership promoted by our government. Malaysia is very rich in cultural diversity. I'm sure if you have been to Kuala Lumpur, people will treat you very well. Customer service in the hotel is first class. Taxi driver will provide you first class service. Mm. They welcome all the tourists into Kuala Lumpur. I am sure the Kuala Lumpur 2014 convention team, they will be in the airport jumping up and down, welcoming everybody from around the world. And I'm sure my wife Rebecca will welcome you with the orang utan.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what is that?
No.
Orang utan is a big, huge monkey that you can only find in Malaysia.
Ooh.
You can't find it elsewhere.
Maybe we could stick one in our suitcase and bring it back to the U.S.
But you cannot catch it live, though. So Kuala Lumpur is a wonderful place. I understand that convention will be held in Kuala Lumpur Convention Center, mm-hmm. surrounded with 5-stars hotel. Mm. And of course, there you can go for shopping, $1 United States. If you buy something in Malaysia, that will if you pay $1 in United States, you will pay 31 cents in Malaysia.
And you got nice shirts made in Malaysia as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so Malaysia is a warm country. Logistics-wise, planes from around the world is landing in Kuala Lumpur. And in terms of financial-wise, major currency is acceptable in Malaysia. If you got credit cards, well, please spend some money in Kuala Lumpur 2014. Help to improve the economy there.
Right.
And bring more people into 2014 Kuala Lumpur Convention to increase the number of foreign tourists coming into our country. And I will be there, I assure you, to welcome more of you.
Sounds like it's a beautiful place. Look forward to seeing it in 2014.
It is.
Not to be missed.
Yeah. Wonderful. All right. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us before we wrap things up? This has been a great visit here, and it's so good to have you in studio. What an honor. We actually had to clean the studio for you. It's the first time we did it in 2 years.
So I'd like to congratulate that. You, Bob, and congratulate Ryan for giving me this wonderful time to join you this evening in Boston for this outstanding podcast recording.
Well, thank you so much, John. It was great to have you.
Thank you, John.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com
and let us know how we can help you.